The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
You're listening to The Last Word on Today FM, and now we're going to get the last word on music. I'm joined by John Cadell from Rock You Like and journalist Larissa Nolan. John, I'm going to start with you. There's been a battle for number one this week. There's always a battle, but what's special about this one?
Well, this is an all-Irish battle for the Irish number one album spot. Last Friday, Glenn Hansard and Fontaines DC and Walking on Cars and Dervish all released albums, and also all twins too. And it looks as though it's between Walking on Cars and Fontaines DC for the Irish number one spot. Now, the interesting thing is that Fontaines are also number four in the UK album charts. So Walking on Cars are just ahead on CD and downloads, while Fontaines DC are doing very well on vinyl. But at the moment, it's Walking on Cars, they think, that are going to swing it. If you're looking for one of the two to buy, I'd go for Fontaines. It was going to be my album of the week this week, but I knew we'd be covering them anyway, but I highly recommend it. Great, great band. Got very early airplay on Today FM from Paul McClue.
The Fontaines.
Back in the day, yes.
Now, I'm not a fan of Walking on Cars at all. For me, their musicality is not really up there. They do absolutely nothing for me. However, I do think it's a positive thing to see five Irish acts, you know, battling up for the top of the charts. What I'm wondering about this is, I was wondering what your thoughts on it, John, were actually is, like, does this mean that we're kind of going back now to listening to Irish music again? Because I'm always finding that there's loads of brilliant Irish music out there. And I mightn't like some of these albums, but I'm absolutely, or these bands, but I'm absolutely delighted to see that people are buying them and people like them. Because for a while there wasn't that going on.
I don't think there's a conscious shift towards listening to more Irish music. I think possibly Irish music is getting better. Now, you say you're not a big fan of Walking Cars. I admire them far more than I used to. I think that with this, the new music they're bringing out, I'm actually liking it quite a bit.
Yeah, they played a New Year's Eve gig in town there. I think it was last year or the year before. And I just found it really kind of depressing, low beat. It just did nothing for me musically. Yeah. And I was kind of fascinated by the fact that they did have this huge fan base. So I'm clearly missing something
Remember the likes of JJ72 and The Thrills? Yeah. I mean, they were all fated as the next big thing. I just hope the likes of Fontaines aren't going to fall into that trap where, you know, there's a huge hype around the debut album and then the second album does okay. And then if they're lucky enough to struggle on through to a third album, then they get dropped. I hope Fontaines will buck the trend. They seem to be very in control of their image and everything that they do. And they certainly have lit a fire under the arse of Irish music in the last year, which is great to see.
You mentioned JJ72. Yeah. I was actually looking for a drummer a while ago, and a friend of mine said, you should ask this guy. He used to be in JJ72. He's a tree surgeon now.
Fergal.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, it's a funny thing that you've got these big upcoming acts and then they have to go to normal life because the industry here is not... It's hard to be successful.
And you know what? I would say many of them are happy. I'd say he's more than happy being a tree surgeon after being, you know, in the machinations and being spat out by the music industry when, you know.
Well, I mean, even if you look back as far as Our House or even the band from Kilkenny, I'm always talking about them. I've just forgotten their name
Curb
right
Dog.
Now. No, the other one. There's a few of them.
Mine at the Fun House.
Again, no, the other one.
The other band from Kilkenny.
Canis Keneally's band.
Who?
Canis Keneally's band from Kilkenny. But if you look at all those bands, they always have like one or two amazing amazing albums. And you're there going, why do we not keep this momentum going? You know, and then they just kind of drop off.
By and large, aren't allowed the time to grow, and they're not nurtured the way they used to be in the 70s and 80s because music has gotten more corporate. Now, we could do an entire show on this, but the fact of the matter is that, like, the way things are at the moment, it's like instant returns on the balance sheet, please, or you're out the door.
Well, Glenn Hansard is one who certainly books that trend.
Well, that's because they were, by and large, they were signed to ZTT and they were dropped after three albums. And I think their next album, which had Lay Me Down on it, was on their own Plateau Records. And
he's been doing it for 30 years, too. Yeah. And overpaid his dues several times. And until I'm not going to say until that Oscar win came through, you know, it's always been a grinding existence for people in
Ireland. Frames were one of those bands who were adored by a certain section of music fans. Yeah, I mean, they had that sort of like, they had their apostles more.
They were nearly like the Pixies of the Irish music scene. I mean, the amount of times that I've seen the Frames live, and there was sort of like, you know, there was like religious devotion to them. There
absolutely
really was.
They did inspire that sort of following. And what I'm reading about, certainly Fontaines, is that, you know, they really have captured people's imagination with their no shit lyrics, you know.
Why don't we give them a listen?
Let's do it.
Can we hear the Fontaines?
Big. Pulling in the rain is mine. A pregnant city with a Catholic mind. Stands those sheets for the
in the rain is mine. A pregnant city with a Catholic mind. A slick little boy with a mind of rich. Pulling that thread for the next big fix. This. My childhood was small. My childhood was small. But I'm gonna be big. But I'm gonna be big. My childhood was small. My childhood was small. But I'm gonna be big. But I'm gonna be big. But I'm gonna be big. Well, Dublin in the rain is mine. A pregnant city with a Catholic mind. Stacked those sheets for a birdhouse jail. Palm mescaline when the past is stale.
I mean, immediately think of Marky Smith mixed with Johnny Rotten with that vocal.
I was just going to say, it's very old and new mixed together at the same time. It's kind of like, you know, 70s, 80s punk mixed with hip-hop, kind of Irish hip-hop. It's a really interesting sound. It's amazing to hear that we're having all these, like, look at all those five bands. Yeah. They're all so totally different. I mean, even Dervish thrown in there.
Yeah.
So it is great to see that. I'm delighted to see more Irish music.
And I should mention that Fergal Darcy will be chatting with and getting a song from Walking on Cars tomorrow on his show at 2 p.m.
Awesome. And I think, to be fair, to give a shout to the other band who are scrapping for the top spot, we have Walking on Cars. Can we hear a clip from them, please? So you kind of couldn't hope for a more different feel than the high energy rock of one and then the kind of the low beat of another. Moving on to another song that was covered by different people, I want to talk about the Frank Sinatra song, My Way. Yeah. You're saying that it turns 50 this year.
It's 50 years ago this month it entered the Irish charts. So this has sort of like started a conversation around its validity and is it a great song or is it just a karaoke joke? I think it depends on who's singing it, to be honest. I mean, I think there are certain songs that should only be covered by people who have the gravitas to cover them. And My Way is one of them. For example, on his exceedingly crap album, Swing When You're Winning, Robbie Williams covered My Way. And he does not have, as far as I'm concerned, the life length, experience or gravitas to sing those lyrics with any semblance of believability. Whereas you get someone like Nina Simone or Elvis Presley, who sings my favourite version. Absolutely. The life experience, what they've been through, they get to sing My Way.
It comes out.
They get to sing it.
When do I get to sing My Way, as Sparks famously said.
Robbie Williams doesn't get to sing My Way. Shane McGowan gets to sing My Way. Sid Vicious does not get to sing My Way.
Well, let's hear some of the covers. Can we get a clip of maybe a bit of the original, then maybe a bit of Shane McGowan thrown in and Johnny Rotten just for good measure?
Oh,
and you'll
Sid
hear
Vicious.
The difference between... Sid Vicious, you'll get to hear the difference between the man who owned the song and the people who could only ever aspire to it.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. You can't, I'm not the queer. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think John, myself and Larissa are both going to absolutely genuflect before your decision to say that the other people certainly weren't worthy. Well, not no. when you hear the first one.
I mean,
and
Sid
then that.
Vicious was just a nasty piece of work. You know, all he did in his life was not play the bass and whack people across the head with bicycle chains and inject heroin.
I'll do it my way.
And that is the sum total. And, you know, he's revered as a punk icon. The guy was just an F-up.
Well, I mean, as a song in itself, first of all, Frank Sinatra singing it, and the two people, the song and the artist paired are just so perfect. Mm. But I mean, I just think it's epic, it's spine chilling, it's got everything in it. Like, there's feelings of, even though it sounds like it's pride, there's feelings of remorse in it as well. Like, I mean, absolutely beautiful song. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, and John and Larissa.
Depending on who's singing it.
Now, Larissa was asking about a certain band, and the nice thing about having a swarm mind of tens of thousands of people listening is that they will answer for you. The band you were thinking of was Engine Alley.
Engine Alley, of course, one of my favourite bands. And I used to live in Kilkenny. Great, great band. Infamy, I Asked You for a Dance, Mr. Winders, all that. Brilliant.
Lovely. And Patrick in Dublin, by the way.
Yeah.
He says, sorry, but the Fontaine CD is awful. It's the Emperor's New Clothes. Critics will love it, but the public won't buy it.
I don't necessarily
agree.
The public
agree. Are buying it though, aren't they?
Well, yeah, this is, like, judging by the charts, yes, they are buying it. I mean, it's fine not to like it. You don't have to like everything. But I think it's not fair to say that the critics are fawning. I mean, they're not.
Okay.
They're not fawning. It's a genuinely, I think, groundbreaking record.
And possibly a really good live experience by the sound of it.
Yeah, I'd say that's some high energy stuff. Let's get on to the picks of the week. Larissa, what have you got for us?
I'm going to go for an Irish band as well. Neil Hannon's Divine Comedy are back with the new album. It's a double album. And it's called Office Politics.
Are they pleased with themselves?
Well, aren't they always pleased with themselves? Neil, the greatest dandy, foppish Neil Hannon. Fantastic, though. You know, brilliant. I know they're like orchestral pop and that they have this, you know, intellectual streak down them. But you know what saves them from being overly serious, John, and you'll know this,
is
that brilliant... But that brilliant humour that goes through everything they do.
No, I think it's diminishing returns.
Oh, no, I think they're fantastic. I love this new single. It's totally different to anything I've heard before. But then the Divine Comedy tend to do that.
Okay, let's hear it. So I'm looking at Larissa Nolan, who is grinning like a Cheshire cat.
And dancing.
I'm looking at John, and you look like you've smelled something funny. It's not doing it for you.
The only time xylophone is acceptable in contemporary rock is when Radiohead use it.
Or Arcade
I would have thought
Fire,
maybe
obviously.
Never. What? Or never.
Well, that exception. And that sounds like It Ain't What You Do by Bananarama and the Funboy 3.
You know what? It does. And maybe it's the familiarity of it that instantly, I found it instantly addictive. I love it. It kind of reminds me also of the stuff that he did for Father Ted. It's quite like my lovely horse. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of thing about it. Look, I know, they're a band that are named after Dante's great poem. So they do take themselves a little bit seriously. But I love that little streak of humour that's always running through them. So they're my pick of the week.
Okay, and we have John's pick of the week. What have you got for us?
Well, I feel bad in a week that has seen four or five great Irish albums by new artists being released. I'm going for a Stones compilation. But I'm going for a Stones compilation because, first of all, it's the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, it's a three CD set. There's a double disc and a triple disc set. The double disc is just all their greatest hits from 1971 to 1978 and then loads of years after that. But the third disc is 10 live tracks from recent tours. I saw them on tour last year in Dublin, as I'm sure many of the listeners did, and they were brilliant. And I'm looking forward to hearing these live tracks, particularly She's a Rainbow live, which I don't think they've played live in years. But that's on it. That track isn't available for us to listen to, but I think we have Wild Horses live with Florence minus the Machine.
All right, let's hear it.
I watched you suffer.
The thing I love about the Stones live is that it seems as though the song could just fall to bits at any moment, but it never does. It's like it's being held together by just sheer force of will.
And so bluesy. I was just saying to Steve, who's the guy in on the sound desk, we were talking about blues music, and I was saying, like, the Stones, they did it. They actually do it really, really well.
They do.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're sloppy as BJs. I love it.
But
love
you know
it.
What? I like listening to them live. I think the thing is about live music, either some bands just don't do great live albums. But then again, there's some people there. Do you know the way you meet people who just go, I can't listen to a live album? I personally love them.
Yeah, me too.
Aerosmith have a great one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask you guys a private question?
No.
Well, maybe not too private. Okay, every time I'm talking to you, you both seem to have this mad wealth of, like, what's new, what's happening, everything about it. And please, everyone, always tune in to us on Tuesday to get the latest. What do you listen to? Where do you pick up everything? How do you stay on top of it all? Is there just Spotify or something constantly going in your...
I think it's constantly listening to music. For me, one thing leads on to another. So, like, I remember years ago getting this album called Sampled, which was an album, as it sounds, of all the songs, the original songs that were all sampled at the time.
Yeah.
And then you'd find that maybe, you know, you liked one band and then you'd hear that somebody was in that band and then you'd buy all their solo stuff. And I often find one thing kind of links on to another. But what's important, in my view, in learning about music, if you're really interested in it, is listening to albums in their entirety. Because you can, you know, if you're kind of picking up and listening to one track here and there, I don't think it really broadens your musical mind. Yeah. But if you listen to the whole album, it does.
For me, it's like there's very few times in any day where I'm not soundtracked by music.
Yeah.
And I love reading about how music was created, how certain albums came together. I mean, there's a book just been announced today about Neil Young's struggle to bring high quality audio to portable devices. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled about that. I want to read about that. It's the only thing that captures my imagination in the arts, really.
I think
it's the only thing I know anything about.
This is just going to say, it goes back to an obsession. But then if you look at, like, I've read books about the neuroscience of music and what it does to your brain. So for certain people are more affected, and we know when they're tested, when listening to music, they're more affected by it. And it's just the way certain people are. I think that's really it.
Yeah.
I have to say, because I find you off the chart. Like, I was talking to him about a country singer named Vince Gill, and I was like, yeah, he's this great hot picker. And what does John do? Sends me back a clip I'd never even heard of him singing, what was it, the Bee Gees?
No, Beach Boys Surfs Up with David Crosby.
Ooh, lovely.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, it was real, you know, real high falsetto stuff. Yeah. It's just absolutely amazing. Come here, I want to ask you before we finish up, all the Westlife fan have gone into a frenzy about the group's new release. What do you make of it?
Well, all these 40-year-old married women with children, they're gone into a frenzy,
I doubt
John,
it.
Apparently.
I doubt it. Unless one of the kids goes missing in the schoolyard, I doubt there's a frenzy going on. No,
there's a riot going on.
Like Westlife said, we want to come back the way Take That came back. But you won't, lads, because you don't have the personalities or you don't inspire the same level of devotion or excitement ever that Take That did when they were first around.
I get the feeling you liked them more when they went away.
Yeah, I've nothing against Westlife, but they're like a fly that I have to swat away from my consciousness now and again.
Well, I mean, like, if they come back with some of the songs like that, Take That came back with, because I think they came back with their best stuff ever, didn't they? On their reincarnation
supposedly. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not interested in either of them, to be honest, but I understand that Take That came back with better stuff.
They came back with a good song. The first song they came back with, I like very much. Now they've gone back to the typical Westlife slushy ballad, sitting on stools, everyone waving their mobile phones in the air, nonsense that they're just a parody of.
I know, but the cynicism of it as well. I'm sorry, getting Ed Sheeran in, because it's like, oh, listen, who's popular? Let's get him in there,
well,
and we'll
the
sell a couple of things.
For you, Larissa.
I know that we could stay on this heartwarming topic for the rest of our lives, but that is all the time you have, all that we have time for, I should say. I'd like to say a huge thank you to John Cadell and Larissa Nolan for giving us the last word on music.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.